A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 15 May 2025, Thursday class. So as usual, we will be continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code, Straight from the Heart. We are at Unique Code 152, coming to 153. Okay. As usual, we gather, then we have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin bu sa. Namo guan si yin bu sa. Namo Guan Si Bhu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Ven Su Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Namo Pho Bhu Sa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādhemi. Svakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo. Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Sanghang namami. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Pi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhamma. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānātipātā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana viramani sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramani sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā viramani sikkhāpada samādhiyāmi. Sura miraya maja pamadatana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Ganda sambara yutena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayani mumonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina puja ye puja niyang tang puja bajana motamang. Vanna ganda gunu petang etam kasuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe pujemi butang kusumena nena punena matena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idangme kayo tata yati vinasabhavang adivasetu nobante paniyam parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutaman adivasetu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutaman adivasetu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutaman. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya be further strengthened until they become balas and powers. Sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May this merit be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Paja. Padang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Develop the four support to support you in stabilizing your inner awareness within. The first and second support are most important. Relax body and mind and maintain awareness throughout. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Relaxation is very important. Relax into every mind state that arises. Feel your entire body and mind soothingly relax. at ease. If you are familiar with the mind sweeping method, it can also help you relax. You can do it. Then combine with metta, loving kindness. You radiate well-being and happiness, starting with yourself, then towards all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen. Then after that, visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile, facing a mirror. When you can smile, you have joy, which means naturally you are happy, peaceful. It will relax your facial muscle. All these are skillful means. Then continue to relax, maintain awareness. After that, stabilize the inner awareness. That is the third support. Then when the inner awareness has stabilized, you just silence your mind completely and let it develop more and more stability until finally your mind becomes very quiet, very still, hardly move. When you can reach that stability, then you can stay at the heart area and do the fourth support, which is trust, T-R-U-S-T. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movement. Then it will detect whatever vibration or even the heartbeat within your heart area. It will detect. Then let it move. Then as you continue to relax and maintain awareness, this movement within will transform your vibration until it becomes more and more refined, more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. Then you will come to a tranquil state. Then you will realize your true mind, which is the inner awareness nature. Its characteristic is tranquility, stillness, no thought, no movement, nothing. Just stay with it. Then there is space between thought. There is no more thinking, no more sankara activity. Then you feel peaceful, quiet, tranquil, still. That's how you develop inner peace, inner calmness, inner joy. And after that, you continue to allow it to stabilize. It will move by itself, it will detect by itself. Then a lot of things will happen and you will understand many, many things. Because it's from this inner awareness that is very stable that the heedfulness arises. And when you are heedful, you can understand many things. You can see many things. You can insight into phenomena. You can see things as they are. You can also develop the silent inner awareness to be at peace with all situations. That's how you develop the progress. The moment your inner awareness stabilizes, you will progress and you will develop a lot of understanding. Then when you come out of it, maintain the awareness within. Make sure after that, everything you do, mindful, aware. Like my teacher always say, we choose aware of all action, all movement and activity within the present moment without thought, just aware. Body and mind move as one, kaya anuvasana. Everything you do with your kaya aware, including the very minute small movement, like the blinking of your eye, your turning, stretching, bending, whatever, very fine activity and movement, maintain awareness, silent everything. Through this anchoring of your inner awareness to your kaya, you develop the stability of inner awareness until your daily mindfulness becomes very, very stable. Then when it becomes very stable, the inner awareness without thought can see mental phenomena, can see external nature's phenomena. Then it's just like specific phenomena awareness. The awareness and the phenomena move as one. Then finally, is nature's phenomena. Everything that comes within your senses, your seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, your mindfulness and awareness can pick it up. This is called specific phenomena awareness. It can be physical phenomena, mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena. All this will become clear to you. Then you transform from the old way of living, which is heedless most of the time, to a new way of heedful living, where there is stability of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness throughout the day. Okay, I let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then stabilize this mind state, so that in the midst of life, you are also mindful, aware, and heedful, leading to heedfulness. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atraha gacchantu devata saddhammam munirajasa sunantu sakamokkadam dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta dhamma sunan kalo ayang badanta namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisadam Sarati Satta Deva Mano Sanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Oppanayiko Pachyatam Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisayukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakkasangho Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyam Khetam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then maintain some form of attention, then we'll continue from where we stop. We will go through unit code 152 again, page 42. This unit code 152 is very important. The subheading is understanding the meaning of condition arising. To penetrate the Buddha's teaching, you must penetrate and understand clearly what he meant by condition arising phenomena. So understanding the meaning of condition arising phenomena is very important, because we live in a conditioned world where everything that arises and passes away follow conditioned Dhamma. That's why the Dhamma Sutta, the famous stanza is, each year you wait for. That first stanza is very important. What it said is, everything within the conditioned world, they have this condition arising phenomena. So this condition arising phenomena is unique to our existential world, which is dependent on condition. That's why we call it a conditioned world. Without condition, nothing arises. Like the Buddha in his famous stanza to the disciples, he told them, whatever arises within our conditioned world, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, they are related to his Panchaniyamas, the five universal order that governs all of life and existence within our universe. So here you can understand condition arising phenomena, you will penetrate his teaching. Where his teaching is based on that. From understanding this very important, unique understanding of condition arising phenomena, you will penetrate the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta. Because if everything within the conditioned world is condition arising, causal phenomena, then is definitely impermanent. It goes the way of nature, following nature's law. They are dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. All set within nature's boundary condition. That's why in his teaching, the Buddha, in many areas, he actually emphasized on that. When you want to develop wisdom, is it? You have to develop the ability to see things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Means what? Within nature, everything flow, move and evolve following nature's condition. So you can observe nature, then you will understand truth. But that is the way things are. If you can see things as they are, you see truth, you see reality. It's no more all the knowledge, all of the concept and idea. So this definition is very important. That's why in this unique code, I define it very clearly. I read to you so that you understand. Unique Dhamma Code 152, understanding the meaning of condition arising phenomena. Whatever that is born of nature's creation, following nature's law, is a condition arising causal phenomena. When condition come together, it arises. That's why the Buddha say whatever arise, there are causes and conditions behind, is the same. When causes and condition comes together, it arises. Means the phenomena arise, exists already. Then when causes and condition continue to support its existence or its sustenance, it continue to exist. Then when condition, causes and conditions cease to be, that phenomena cease to be. From this, you will understand clearly. Hence, each and every of these phenomena is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why I put here, when condition cease to be, it cease to be, hence it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to. Therefore it is not you, not self, for it comes and goes, dependent on nature's condition. It is in a state of continuous flux, constantly evolving, moving. That's why my teacher Ajayantra say, O the mighty nature rolling by. Then whatever arise, we choose accept them as natural. That's why mighty nature rolling by is very important. Is all nature's condition manifesting, evolving, moving, creating the existential world, the phenomenal world. And as a human being, as a living being, we have our senses. That's why we can trigger off consciousness. We are a conscious being. We can become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. That's the basis of living, basis of life. That's the basis of how we know the world, how we can interact with the world, and how we can perceive life, existence, phenomena, everything that manifests from our sense basis to the contact between consciousness and our sense bases, together with external sense data, when the three come together and make contact, then like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is like it makes you conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feeling thing. If you can understand that, you will penetrate. Then you will know why the Buddha say all of phenomena within our conditioned world, there is this unique three universal characteristics. First is anicca, characteristics of impermanent. Because everything is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, cause of phenomena. That's why it's never static. It's always evolving, moving. That's why the characteristics of impermanent exist, following nature's law. Therefore, as a result of what this universal characteristic of impermanent is, you want things your way which is not in accordance with nature's condition, you will suffer. That's why the Buddha, under the first noble truth, the seventh reality, he said, when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, suffering will be the result. So all this, they are due to the universal characteristics of anicca, impermanence. That's why it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. You cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. Where everything is just a phenomenon, coming and going, evolving, moving. That's why understanding anicca will enable you to penetrate dukkha or suffering. That's why the Buddha used the word sabbe sankhara anicca. All of sankhara, mental activity, mind state, consciousness and its content, the thought process, your ideology, your views, your opinion, conditioning, belief system, everything that you create through your mundane thinking, mundane activity, they are impermanent. They come and they go, dependent on condition, they arise. When condition continue to exist, it sustains itself, it's like real, exists. But it's evolving in a state of flux continuously because you are not mindful. You cannot see the movement. You cannot understand. You cannot insight into phenomena to realize the universal characteristics. That's why when you penetrate that, you straight away awaken. Then by virtue of its impermanence characteristic, it is also a non-self, anatta, or empty nature of existence, which means within our conditioned world, phenomenal world of consciousness and form, everything is in a state of flux, not a permanent and changing entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be owned, can be possessed, can be mine. There is no such thing. Only the deluded one with sakkadhiti have this type of wrong thought, misconception of our form and mind as a self, as a permanent unchanging entity that can cling, grasp, own and have things. See it clearly, penetrate that, and awaken to it. Then once you understand that, then you realize the whole of existence and life is just a series of causes and conditions moving, evolving, following nature's law. That's why there is no reality. everything just arise, sustain itself, and pass away. Every phenomenon, every sankhara mind state, aggregates of mind, they exhibit the same. We are all knowing come from mind. That's why the Buddha came to realize our mundane thinking, our mundane mind, mano, that is the forerunner of all things. That is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. That's why the law of karma, the law of dependent origination, the law of truth, they manifest. So this understanding is very important. Understanding mind. One is the creative part, which is impermanent. You attach and cling, you grasp, suffering will be the result. That's why the five aggregates of grasping, they condition suffering. So understanding all this is very important. That is the first noble truth, final summary. The whole teaching evolves around understanding condition dhamma, condition arising phenomena. When you see this, you will see the universal characteristic, you will penetrate, you will awaken, and you will not be deluded by that illusionary self, or what we call sakkayadity, self-delusion. Then once you penetrate and awaken to that, then you will understand all the essential dhamma and the key teachings of Lord Buddha. All dhamma become clear to you. And from there, you understand life. And you can see clearly the unreality of form, unreality of mind. Not until you can see clearly form, unreality of form, and with that wisdom enable you to see beyond form. Unless you have the mindfulness to see clearly, initially is form, which is more gross, easier to perceive and see. But when it comes to mind, it's not so direct. Because mind is not something that is solid, visible. Mind is more subtle. But without mindfulness, you cannot see mind. That's why when you have sati, mindfulness, stability of it, you can see mind. Its movement, its manifestation, its universal characteristic. And how through the silent observation you come to know why the mundane mind, which is the thought, basically the thought, is limited. And how it creates via words, concept, ideology, belief system, views, opinion, and conditioning. It creates the duality. It creates all the conflicts, misunderstanding, the division. That's why it leads to all the unnecessary war, conflict, misunderstanding, and all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, leading to all the sorrow, lamentation. All of your phobia, insecurity, your whatever they call intense jealousy, hatred, envy, they arise through sakkayadity. They condition you to grasp, cling, and give meaning. Then when you cannot see with the mindfulness to understand their unreality of form and mind, because they are dependent originating, condition arising phenomena. no reality. So when you can see clearly, mind make ade is just an image, then your delusion collapse. Then wisdom arise. When wisdom arise, when you penetrate the Dhamma and see things as they are, then the phenomenal world of consciousness and form loses its power. It has no power over you. That's why you can understand life. You can live life and yet not be deluded or deceived by it. And that is how living beings can break free and develop the wisdom to awaken. Once that thing arises and manifests, that form of mind that is connected to that wisdom break free. The mundane mind realizes itself and ceases, thereby leading to the awakening, the realization of Nibbana, the complete cessation of form and mind, including the pure awareness nature, also ceases. Then you can develop the understanding of what that source is, what that true nature, or the so-called Buddha nature, or original nature, or the oneness nature, the primordial nature is. Because that is the deathless element, the unborn. But it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. But all beings, they start from there. The movement arises from there. That's why they call it the original nature, Pan Lai, the Mian Mu. Originally, it was that, the primordial. From there, all things arise. So the four circle formation that I've explained, express it very clearly. You go back and listen to this session recording again. Once you penetrate this understanding of what is a condition arising phenomenon, you will penetrate the teaching. It's very powerful. Yeah. But you have to listen to it attentively and develop the understanding to stabilize it. Then from there, you will understand why the Buddha and the Mahayana Zen master always use the word mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Yeah. Mind make ade. In Mandarin they call it Yiqie Yiqie Wei Xing Zhao, means the mundane mind created it. Xing Zhao Chen. Then when you understand conditioned Dhamma, you will understand the Diamond Sutta famous stanza, the four stanza. Each year you wait for Zhu Meng Guan Pao Ying, Zhu Lu Yi Lu Tian, Ying Zhu Lu Si Guan. So this stanza explain to you what the conditioned Dhamma is, because we live in a conditioned world, an illusionary world, an existential world that is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why I say within the condition world, everything is conditioned Dhamma. Each year you wait for. Then what are these conditioned Dhamma? Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. Meng is dreamlike. Huan is illusionary. Pao is like a bubble, arise and pass away, come and go. Then like a shadow. Yeah. So a shadow is like something following you. Yeah. When there is light. Which means the conditioned world is illusionary. It's like just moment to moment the consciousness arise and pass away, like what we have gone through. When you are mindful, when you are aware, you know existence or creation or time can be defined. The whole spectrum of time can be defined. to exist is to go through time. That's why existence, life and time, they are related. And from that moment to moment awareness, present moment awareness, through sati, you will come to know. The only reality is the present moment. And to transcend life, to transcend existence, you have to transcend even the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? Split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. It arises and passes away so fast. It's so transient. And that is the only reality. See it. Awaken to it. So how real can life be? It's just moment to moment consciousness. 往事只能回味, you can only recollect it through memory. No reality. Everything arises and passes away. Not what you think. But through your delusion, you grasp at it. You created the illusionary time. You created the past and the future. Yeah. Then you get yourself entangled. You grasp, you cling, you give meaning. You project your thought. You project them back into your past to recall all the scars of memory, your phobia, your whatever experience of life can be all sorts of war, abuses, phobia, insecurity. Yeah. And all this create fear, worry, anxiety, entanglement, leading to suffering, misery. Then when you project into the future which has yet to come, it's also no more reality, like the past is already gone, no more reality. Why do you cling and hold and create your own mental suffering and confusion and delusion? So when you project into the future, future has yet to come, no more reality, not a reality yet. But you create your unnecessary fear when you project. And you ask that question, what happened if people come to know? What happened if that thing take place? So all these are your thought creating your own mental projection, the illusionary time that condition you to grasp at the unreality. Everything that starts with if, it's not a reality. That's why I don't always hold on to all this. If I have not gone done that, if I have not gone there, this would not have happened. This is just justification through your thought process. But the reality is, within the moment, what happened is the reality. And that is the one you cannot argue. That is the isness of thing. That is suchness, ta-ta-ta. And when you understand what that is, the isness of thing, then you will not have the delusion to continue to allow your thought to justify, to analyze, to come up with the reasoning, the projection. All these are illusion, sakkadity, little suffering. So seeing all this, understanding all this, silence your mind, develop the stability of mindfulness to insight in the phenomena and to awaken and to listen attentively to what I have shared tonight, you will definitely awaken. Okay? Sadhya. Oh, we are still early. So, we can continue to the next code. Okay, we will go to the next code. Unique Dhamma code 153. The practice of letting go. So this one is the greatest fallacy. The practice of letting go, that's why I put in inverted comma, is a fallacy, an illusion based on Dhamma knowledge, Dhamma logic, and it's not wisdom. The moment one awakens, one understands, and this awakening is immediate and spontaneous or sudden. When that happens, one is no longer deluded. Hence, one will not hold and cling anymore. When one cannot hold or cling, is there a need to let go? So the question is there a need to let go? Who actually hold? Only the one who is deluded will hold via ignorance. So how can the deluded one really let go? And they come out with the word practice letting go. Who practice? Who practice? It's obviously the thought practice, isn't it? Only thought do all this foolish thing. Without wisdom, one will continue to hold and cling because it is the thought that tries to practice letting go. We are a concept, we are an idea, which to them is very logical. No? If I hold, I cling, I attach, I suffer, isn't it? So the logical thing is what? Let go lah. Don't attach lah. But without wisdom, can you do it? You can't. Your security is there. That delusion is so intense and so conditioned. That's why that is the one that living beings find it very difficult to break free from. Yeah. So based on all this understanding, by now you should understand cultivation is not practice. Understand that? When you cultivate, you develop wisdom. We are only wisdom free. When you practice, you become mechanical, repetitive. You keep on doing the same thing. Like you practice to play badminton or play something mechanical. Keep on repeating. That is practice. That's why you practice. Don't hold. Let go. But you never realize that without wisdom, you may say let go. You don't cling, you don't attach. But that delusion is there, it will condition you to grasp and cling. Without wisdom, you can never free. That's why without wisdom, there is no real release, or what we call awakening. Only wisdom liberates the mind, free the mind. Not any type of practice which is mechanical, rigid, which is knowledge-based, thought-based, logic-based. So, see that clearly. So, maybe I give you an example, you will know. Yeah? Let's say, this one is your problem. So this one is tormenting you, causing you suffering, misery. But living being, through sakayadity, delusion, they continue to hold. You know why they continue to hold? Because they say, this is my problem. When you say this is your problem, you continue to hold onto it via your thought process. Because you say this is your problem. And you say you have to solve it. That's why you continue worrying about it, holding onto it. So this holding onto it, this one, that holding and that grasping is the one that causes you suffering. Where this one is the cause of suffering. Because this one is burning you, tormenting you. When you say it's your problem, it is burning and tormenting you. So this problem can be any of the first noble truth reality that torment you because you lack the Dhamma understanding. So what happens is you continue to worry about it. So this holding on to it means worrying about it. That's why your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation leading to all the suffering happen. Because you continue to hold worry. And this will haunt you. Create a lot of misery and suffering in living being. So what actually happened is the Buddhists who don't have the wisdom and the understanding say, don't hold lah, let go lah. This one, because it is not like a red hot molten iron ball that really cause you a lot of burning sensation. If you know it's burning you, tormenting you, then you will not hold it. Like it's very hot, and it's not boiling hot. You dare to touch it or not? You will never touch it, isn't it? But because it is tormenting you and burning you at the thought level, mentally, that's why you don't experience that severe physical sensation of being burned and tormented. That's why you will not let go. That practicing of letting go is a fallacy. It's a delusion. Because you will continue to worry about this so-called problem. That's why you hold on to it without you knowing it via your thought process. And this is where Sakkayaditti is. When you penetrate the universal characteristic, Sankara Anicchang, Sankara lead to suffering. Sankara is not a permanent unchanging entity, not you. Then you're free. Then all the emotion that arise, your so-called problem, that condition, your fear, worry, anxiety, they are dependent originating mind state, not intrinsic within your nature. Why can't you see? That's why you develop mindfulness, awareness, stay with it, then it sees. And when it sees, what happens? Huh? When it sees, what happens? You come to the great awakening. Anger was not you. Fear was not you. All the emotion that you create is dependent originating due to your wrong view, Sakkayaditti. So straighten your view, then all this cease to be. Then you just live your life, do your duty, and that's all. You can follow. Because that aspect of understanding life is very, very difficult. Because there is this nature's law, especially a law of karma, law of mind, law of truth. Then you just develop the understanding and liberate your mind and just live. But this form of mind is subject to karma. That's why this one must do its duty. Then no more problem. Take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Everything will become beautiful, meaningful. Then why you worry about life? Understand now, who worry? The thought that project worry. The thought that doesn't understand that this is just a condition arising phenomenon with the universal characteristic. It's not you, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why when you penetrate all this, you will liberate, you will free. That's why you don't go and gullibly follow what people tell you. Because it's logical. Practice letting go. Who practice? The thought with the Sakkayaditti you want to practice. Without wisdom, you cannot free. That's why I always stress to you all, nothing free your mind except wisdom. I better write it down. So remember this. You need wisdom to liberate, to set yourself free. The mundane mind must develop the wisdom to realize itself and cease. Then you live with your pure awareness nature. You don't live here. But this one is for normal mundane living, existential world living. Once you have the understanding of both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, then you can live here. It is like here. From the pure awareness nature, you go this direction, you direct see. You see things as they are, you develop the wisdom. So this wisdom, W, is born of the direct seeing. So this one is direct seeing. Then you go this direction with your senses, you create mundane living. Then this one is the, once you develop the wisdom, you can live life to the fullest, noble life or noble living. So this part, without the wisdom, you cannot live this aspect of noble living. Noble living can only arise when wisdom has arisen. This one is Dhamdiu. So hopefully, with tonight's explanation, this is clear. Listen to it again, contemplate, reflect, stabilize the understanding that stabilize your inner awareness. The inner awareness need to be stabilized. Otherwise, all these are still some form of contemplative wisdom, not the penetrative one that can awaken you. With the stable sati and mindfulness, then only the penetrative wisdom can arise. And when it arises, it can awaken living being. Okay? Any question? Sadhu. Now you continue your second session, which is meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. You can ask me any question you like regarding the Dhamma, the teaching, or how to apply this teaching. And also comment on today's sharing. It will be very useful.
Evening gratitude.
Ah, Cindy, yes, you come in.
Today's sharing is though it's talking about myself before I meet
you. Wow, sadhu, very good.
That's why I said, because it was me before I know awareness meditation.
Yeah, awareness-based meditation.
That's how I live.
So.
I say I've changed 360 degrees. That's, as I said, what you mentioned today is exactly what I was before.
You went through,
Sadhu, I went through.
That's why with sati, with awareness, you can penetrate the understanding.
Yes.
You can see it very clearly.
So true. It's so very true. Yeah. It's a thought, it's our enemy, you know.
Without sati, that thought, that deluded thinking, the wrong view, security especially, it will condition a lot of suffering within humanity, living being.
As you said, mind is our enemy. I mean, without knowing, the mind go back to live in, we live in the past, you know, memory. So with awareness-based meditation, when with this in hand, once it comes to you, you're aware, you know.
So you are aware and you are not deceived and deluded by it. That's the beauty of awareness meditation. That's why awareness-based meditation.
Thank you so much, brother Teo.
It's
a blessing, you know. For me, it's a blessing to have met you all.
Sadhu, it's so also your good karma. Otherwise, you cannot understand all this.
So especially when I know there's two mind.
That one awaken you.
You awaken me immediately.
Then so the mundane mind loses its power to deceive and delude. That chattering, that verbalization, that commentaries, that one that analyze, create a lot of wrong view, security to deceive the living being. That's why without sati, you cannot see all this. because you cannot be with your true mind, your true awareness nature. And that one you know, when you are there, you are without thought, without anything. That's why nothing can create suffering in you. When you are there, your true mind, your true nature is tranquility, stillness, very beautiful, peaceful, clarity.
Yes. Yeah, it's so peaceful and so beautiful.
Yeah, and it's so tranquil and still.
Yes.
Then who create the mundane thinking?
Create
all the hot stuff, all the things that become like so hot and tormenting, causing so much suffering. That's why sakyadity is a very major avijja, ignorant. And from there, the evil root, the egoic mind, the manifestation of the what they call self-delusion, that condition, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that's how the karmic negativity manifests, surface, and all the mental hindrance also continue to arise from there. That's why people cannot see the danger of sakyadity, that mundane thinking, mundane manifestation through wrong view. See it, awaken to it. That's why those who have developed the cultivation, like Cindy, they will know, they will understand. Because deluded people trapped in the mundane thinking. And when you understand this, you will determine to awaken to it and free, set your mundane thinking free. Straighten your view and never go back to the heedless thinking again. Because like the Diamond Sutra's 4 stanza, conditioned Dhamma, everything within the conditioned world are conditioned Dhamma. And what are they? Dreamlike, zumong, illusionary, huan, paoying, like a bubble and a shadow. So it's really illusionary, dreamlike, because like you're dreaming. It's consciousness, mind, maker, they come and they go. Like I always say, how do you know or perceive all this external form, the phenomenal world of consciousness, through your mundane consciousness? And what is consciousness? Image within your mundane thinking and thought process, through your six sense door, and they arise and pass away so fast. And as real as they can be, is only within the moment. So transient, split second is the end goal. So how real can that be? And living being deludedly grabs, cling, and give meaning. That's why they hold on to that so-called problem created by what? The thought, the mundane, deluded, sakyadity mind. And all this, when you see it, it can never happen anymore. It will liberate you. After you see this and understand this, you still can be tormented by it. I wish you luck, means you are not cultivating Dhamma. You are cultivating knowledge. That's why you cannot practice letting go. No way. Oh, very good, Cindy, Sadhu. You continue.
Must I say thank you a million times to Brother Chiu?
Yeah. That's why this understanding is priceless, really priceless.
Yeah, it's priceless, only it's priceless. Yeah. So you have to cultivate it now, because you see, every moment now you have to be aware. Yeah. If you really put into practice, then it will be part of you, no?
Yeah, it becomes a part of you, and it will set you free forever.
Yes, yes.
That is the beauty of it, yeah.
That's the beauty of it. That's why I say this is real, I mean, to me now, since I know you all, yeah, no, Brother Chiu. I'm living the Dhamma life. I don't go back.
Sadhu. Very good.
So I said life is beautiful.
You can like come to understand that you completely change 360 degrees.
Yes.
And life like take a turn. So amazingly beautiful.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Thank you again, Brother Chiu.
No problem. You're most welcome. Also, your good karmic nature, your karmic past. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You just encounter the video, then you listen, then after many, many, I don't know.
I realize these two talks, Tuesday, Thursday talk, and then the recent retreat. Your explanation is very clear.
Yeah, very, very clear.
Straightforward. Very simple, very straightforward.
Yeah. Sadhu, like what Engby realized.
I also realized that.
It is like full of skillful means to let living being understand the truth. And it's nothing esoteric or exotic about the teaching. It's basic, related
very
to life.
Basic and simple.
It can be understood. But you must have sati, mindfulness, stable. Then you see it clearly, like your case. It's like an awakening. And after that, you wake up, you cannot go back to the old way already. No way. The emotion, the habitual tendency, all will be gone. Completely gone. Just like the Buddha, after he realized, he just says, Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anattito. No reality at all. Everything is just illusionary, not real. Not a permanent and changing entity, not what you think. You're all of sankhara. You go back to the mundane thought process, the thinking. They really exhibit that condition arising phenomenon, impermanent, leading to suffering when you grasp and cling and want things your way. Then you see clearly it's not a permanent and changing entity that you can hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. No such thing. That's why you will know that form and mind is karmically conditioned out, a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world to live life. That's why live. Do your duty. That's it. Nothing else. No reality. Like the Buddha say, my son, my wealth, my property, my so-called belonging, prized possession. This only the fools, the foolish one, lament, for that very body doesn't belong to him. They wherein son, wherein welfare, and all these things. But they only arise through memory, the thought holding on to it. That's why all this, when you understand, you penetrate, you know the existential world is a phenomenal world of consciousness and form, no reality. Manifested by the mundane thinking, mundane mind that has the delusion. But when you penetrate, awaken with the wisdom, then you know how to live life. And then life becomes meaningful, beautiful. And that is the whole secret of understanding the Dhamma to live life. That's why Cindy also can understand. And many of those who penetrate, they can understand. That's why they realize their life is so different. So much more meaningful, so much lighter. No more of those.
Much peaceful.
Much peaceful. Yeah, no more of that, like worrying, sorrow, the lamentation, the bosong, bosong. All those, no more. It ceased to be. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, no more. Because thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things feel like that. Why can't you see that? And come to terms with the reality. Then do what you need to do. Finish. That's why aware. Finish. That realization is priceless, really. The word you use. Money cannot buy.
Money cannot buy.
Yeah.
It's priceless.
Yeah.
It's really priceless.
Very good, Cindy. Sadhu to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else you want to...
Ed? I say thank you again to all of our parameters and Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo.
Yeah, and let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So, good evening, Brother Teo and the rest of the Kalyamita. I think after doing more of this awareness meditation, naturally, I'm aware of these actions through my speech, thought, and also my body actions.
Yeah.
everything there's a slowing is a time space in between. There's a space.
Yeah.
For me,
it's like the clarity is there. Like everything is not like before. You are like lost in thought, heedless. But now no more. There is clarity. There is space. And there is understanding in between. Because you are aware now instead of lost in thought. And there is the beginning of progress. Once you see that, then you can start to see things as they are. You can start to insight into phenomena. You can start to stabilize your inner awareness, leading to stability of inner mindfulness. Yeah. Then that one will lead to heedfulness. And when you can do it throughout the day, throughout the day, most of the time, then you suddenly can see a lot of things, awaken. Right. And all this teaching that I share is becoming very easy to understand.
But I also feel that my listening is not like normal listening, but it's just like it actually direct. It doesn't go through a lot of thinking and memory.
Yeah. No longer like last time. Go to memory, compare here, compare there.
You have become
no more already. Now it's direct. The understanding go in direct.
Correct.
And there's a lot of joy. Very penetrative. Sadhu. Yes. Very good.
Yeah. I don't feel emotional engaged on certain things, like some day, and I will not react so fast.
Yeah.
And I don't see myself is becoming part of the actor in the...
Yes. You no longer play the role of the actor and actresses. You no longer like that form of mind playing the role of acting. You no longer live that old way of actor and actresses type of life. You don't have to act anymore. You become like very down to earth, very sincere, very straightforward. And through your understanding, you become humble. And that clarity is there. Then you become so different. Last time you had to act out of it, have to like... learn how to behave.
Is that unnatural? You are just like being forceful.
Natural.
Like,
not natural.
Not natural. Yeah.
You are like acting out of it.
I think twice, or after I talk, I say something, I will recall, have I done the right thing?
Yes. Reason. Now, no more. No more. Okay. Now you see things as they are. Then you realize a lot of those things are not necessary. It's like the newspaper. Most of the news, more than 90%, no need to read on. Read also like that, don't read also like that. If you don't know how to read, you read, you become more emotional.
All right. Very good. I enjoy my journey. Radio for the past few months, I really appreciate a lot for all your guidance and mentorship.
Sadhu. Very good. Sadhu.
Thank you.
So today one you can follow, very well.
Yeah. You can. It's just like getting myself relaxed and sleep into it.
Very good.
I don't
silence your mind and stay at the heart area.
Right.
Let the vibration go in. Then later on you listen to this sharing again. It's like you can penetrate and understand it very clearly. Then later on, you can be like Cindy. When you realize the two minds are so different, then that is the beginning of Sakyaditi breaking down. Then your habitual tendency all starts to dissolve. Then you become like very different. Like Cindy said, 360 degrees. Complete transformation and change. Then you no longer live life the old way.
All right. Thank you very much.
Very good. Sadhu.
Thank you.
Sukyoto, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
With us. Okay. I rejoice if everyone's sharing.
Sadhu.
Especially Cindy's. I must admit that my awareness is always in and out. Not stabilized yet.
Yeah, you can stabilize it, no problem.
But overall, I have a sense of peacefulness.
Yeah. Can you see from your demeanor when you are at the retreat?
Yeah.
It's like you have affinity with Chun Thi Fusa, so you were in tears, crying.
No, I was
not the sobbing type.
When I was in Cameroon's, normally I you know, being English educated, many of us, those who are English, and we are not familiar with
chanting. Yes.
Except Buddha, you know, normally Buddha and Kuan Yin Pusat. So when I was there this time, I went around and asked for to have affinity with all.
Yeah, affinity with them. Their blessing.
And Chun Thi would show it to me. So
wow, Sadhu, no wonder. I saw you, tears came out a few times.
But I have a question, Brother Teo.
Yes, can ask.
My practice.
Hmm.
How does this vibration help me in my practice?
Very good.
Practice.
You want me to answer that first?
Yes.
Ah, good. You listen. You see, each and every one of us, we have a nature within. But this nature, which is at the heart area, take a while to actually become like active, to become like, we call it, it starts to activate itself and open up, in the sense that only through this type of vibration, or we call it the sati or awareness, nature's energy. That's why every time you pay respect, you realize you fold your palm. Then at the back, there is an energy from your palm below going to your heart without your knowing it. In the early day when I pay respect a lot, I do my religious routine, I realize there's an energy that goes in. Then I realize this one activated my heart. It starts the movement. Then later on as I cultivate, then when the chanting came, the vibration activate my heart more and more. That's why those kayamita who has great affinity with the great beings, the chanting come by itself. Just like what happened to me. The Amitabha chanting, Kuan Yin, Om Mani Padme Hum, it come by itself. Then when it is there, especially when I was in Sanpao Si or any Mahayana monastery that I go, if they have their four fa hui or whatever, then when they chant that thing, the round for that time, I was silent my mind, sometimes I follow. Then that vibration go in and activate your nature without you knowing it. Then once that one activate, that is the beginning of awareness nature's movement within you. Yeah. For you, because you are English educated and you don't know what it is. That's why when it come, you have this thought, having the doubt, how can it help you? Because to you all, especially the Theravada tradition, you always believe that you must have Dhamma knowledge. You must have the so-called teaching to make you understand. No, that one actually is just memory. Talk. And initially, of course, through the first turning, second turning, you can use thought. You listen attentively, then it can trigger off some form of understanding. Then when you contemplate, reflect, and inquire, it stabilizes the understanding. And these two, first and second turning, become your initial wisdom. And I realize this initial wisdom is not that penetrative, but good enough for sainthood way. Then later on, as you meditate, as you develop the inner awareness, stabilize it, you can actually activate your heart area. Yeah. But that one, you need to have stable sati, mindfulness. Yeah. But initially, like you say, your sati not stable, in and out, in and out. It's okay. as long as you develop some, it will activate a bit. But with the affinity that you all cultivate with the great beings, then when that thing comes, it can activate you faster. That's why you were in tears, understand? And that tears is not sadness, or not emotional, but it's from the heart, one deep inside there, understand? This is what I mean by the Bohi mind. Yeah? When you plant it deep enough, it will activate itself, it will comfort by itself. But because most of you all, especially for your case, because you say you all been English educated and you don't have much Mandarin understanding or cultivation from the past, then this thing is not so prominent in you all. But don't worry, because this is the beginning. Luckily you asked. So when that thing get activated and starts to move, silence everything and develop the joy, the compassion, like what Alicia went through, you will develop a lot of compassion on, because these type of beings, their wisdom, their love and compassion, especially Kuan Yin, even Chun Ti is supposed to be a manifestation of one of Kuan Yin's manifestation, and they are very powerful, very, very beautiful because of their vow, of their long cultivation, perfection. So all this can help, can actually speed up the transformation. And without you knowing, if you come back and do your religious routine, you can transform. And you can progress very fast. That's why I saw, then I got no condition to talk to you because not enough time for all the sharing. A lot of the Kayavita, the older one, don't have time to share. Only the new people share. So now that you ask, is very good. And say, have faith. You will progress. You will do well.
Yes. I even if I practice in a house, this energy still come to me.
Ah, very good. Silent and stay. Relax into it and let it stabilize.
Just stay aware of all the movements.
Yes, whatever movement, don't try to know, don't try to do, just silent, just be with it. Then let it move, let it activate and open up your heart. Then later on, your sati will stabilize without you knowing it. But you must do your bodhisattva vow, and you must continue to thank the great being for their blessing, protection, and guidance. That one very important. You pay your respect, you create affinity, then you thank them for their blessing, protection, and guidance. Then continue to sincerely request their continuous blessing, protection, and guidance life after life, whenever your form and mind has to come or choose to come. Then you will go into your bodhisattva vow. Then all this will continue to move. And in future, when you come again, you become very beautiful. That's why this life stabilize it. Do your religious routine, your bodhisattva vow. Do it every morning. For the next 3 to 6 months, stabilize it.
Sadhu, Brother Teo.
Sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice, Nancy. Any more questions?
With regards to the retreat, my take-home message was when Brother Song had his sharing. It's very profound. Because I really rejoiced that a way out of suffering.
That one will help a lot. Because when you have faith, you rejoice. Especially when at the Sambao Si, our Triple Gem temple there where we have our retreat, the collective energy, the nature's energy, the great being's energy, they are very, very powerful. And when you rejoice with the faith and you make use of all those to actually support your cultivation, it will move you very fast and without you knowing it. Those moments, that's why I say money cannot buy. and the amount of wholesomeness that participants develop there, you can never imagine the amount of wholesomeness, merits and progress. But all this will accumulate as your cultivation. That's why all this that actually can like give you the faith, like motivate you and give you the joy and the understanding that this sharing is very beautiful, and like you are convinced that liberation from birth and death, enlightenment in the here and now is not only possible, but it's a reality, it's something that can be realized and achieved by those who sincerely develop the faith to cultivate and persevere. So all this understanding will really make a big difference to a cultivator. You yourself must have the faith and develop the what they call joy inside, the understanding. Then the emotion that the positive one that trigger off to affinity with great beings and at the retreat. Like you say, you go and talk to them. The great being requests their blessing, protection and guidance and affinity. All this is going to fall into place. And when you are sincere, which I can see, that's why you decide to even finally last minute come. And there was vacancy. That's why I knew meant to be. Very, very, very good. Then when I saw you there, you were sitting in front of Cindy, actually. And at that time, I saw your tears and all. I knew you activated by all this. That's why there is a lot of joy. And you will progress. That's why I have faith. And cultivate sincerely, develop the faith stronger and stronger. Then let the heart area there, like you say, the energy is still coming, which is a good sign. Let it move you. Let it develop the movement and understanding. You don't have to use your thought to know one. As long as that one continue to move, your mindfulness will stabilize your understanding on your own. You will understand. But the heart doesn't learn through words. The heart learns through the wisdom energy that is received. All this wisdom energy, they come from great beings, mantra, chanting, vow, for how, all those things, and their nature's vibration. That's why for those who know the great beings' nature's energy, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. The cultivator of the way, they have affinity, they will connect. Then somehow it will move. That's why the cultivation become like very different. That's why Theravada cannot understand. Theravada one is very provisional teaching. The more towards the thought based, knowledge based. Whereas the Mahayana Bodhisattva way is about vow, about that nature, about affinity. That's why adhitana, adhitan, that parami is very beautiful. You know how to apply it. It can bring forth the way. Good, Nancy. Sadhil to you. Rejoice.
I think that's all for my sharing.
Sadhil.
Brother, Amitabha, I like to
see
the continuation of the vibration, brother. Since mentioned about vibration and Sister Nancy want to learn how vibration can help her, isn't it? So I like to kind of like add on to
That will be very helpful. You went through a lot also.
You see, in especially in retreat and as well as a spiritual trip, I realized myself that the vibration comes in many forms, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the vibration, like what Brad just said, the wisdom energy, right? It comes in many forms, and it's beyond your mind, one, or
you
cannot imagine
how
it comes, you know. But the recent Cameron retreat, maybe I talk about the recent Cameron retreat, right?
Yes, that would be
when I was actually I did some sharing during the retreat, but I didn't mention the details of it that I kind of like witness it and all, brother. So I want to say a little bit more about this, you know.
Yeah,
but at that time when I experienced it, I like brother said, very important, don't try to know, don't try to
know.
This is very important so that it goes in, you know, into your nature.
Correct.
Then when you come out of it, and then when you want to know, you can understand what happened, and you can explain what happened clearly.
Yes,
also.
Sadhu.
Yes,
sadhu.
So this is what I want to say. So you see, when brother, on the first day of the retreat, right, Bratio was doing the sharing in the evening, okay?
Yes.
So as I listened to Bratio's sharing, right? Mm. So at first it's through the hearing, you know, the hearing, okay?
Mm.
Then after that, the hearing transform, you know, Bratio. It comes vibration, you know. It comes vibration, right?
Mm.
So this vibration, it's through my ears, I hear that vibration, right?
Mm.
And then it becomes more intense and more intense, you know.
Sadhu.
Then I felt uncomfortable because it's so intense. Because this is the first time it's becoming more intense. And then I said, okay, I will go and rest.
Go and meditate.
Yes. I go and rest.
The nature will know and it will condition you to lie down. Then no need to listen to the word. Stay in the heart.
Yes. Mm. Yes, correct. So I walked to the bench there I wanted to kind of rest there. But before I rest there, the thing is it's meant to be one. You whatever you need to know, meant for you to know one, you will see it, you know. So when I did tell Brother Teo during the sharing is I can actually see the vibration, the waves, you know, Brother Teo,
the vibration
in the flux, you know, everywhere the room. Okay, I can see that, before I lined up, I was like sitting down first, and then I bent against, my back was against the wall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the intensity, it become even stronger.
Yeah,
you know,
stronger. The moment you're silent, it becomes stronger. Mm.
Yes. You know what happened? And then when I opened my eye to look at it, you know what happened? The vibration on the wall, how you call that? Bounce back, you know, bounce back very strong. You can actually see
the
vibration.
The intensity.
Yes.
You can feel it.
Yes. Usually I feel it, Bradio, but this time, I can see it myself, you know, the vision, I can see it. It bounce off the walls, you know, everywhere, bounce off, you know. I mean, at that time, like I said, I don't try to know, I do not want to, how you call that, don't try to know and don't try to
don't
do anything.
Don't try to do anything. Yes. You're just silent.
Silent, and then I rest on the bench. And then as I rest on the bench, right, the at the same time, right, the vibration from the chanting downstairs, from the main...
It started coming.
Yeah, it started and it come into the... to the main, I mean the meditation hall where we are on the second floor. So it is all mixed up in the meditation hall, you know. So you can see all the vibration everywhere,
and
the bouncing of the bouncing against the wall, you know, the wall.
Sadhu.
this is a way of manifestation how the wisdom energy from Brother Teo's sharing plus the chanting, you know, comes together, you know. Yeah, so it's very beautiful, but then it can be very intense, you know. So you have to kind of like rest and lie down.
Correct.
And let it be, you know?
Initially, it can be very intense. Yeah, like I used to share with Brother Song and on one or two occasions with you. Initially, when you just go through this, it's like that nature's energy is too strong for you, you know. But don't worry, just relax into it and silent. Then take whatever your nature can. Then sometimes it's like too forceful. Don't worry. Just let it be. Because later on it will stabilize. It will stabilize. Because when you go to a retreat, we are all the great beings, nature's energy, together with my sharing and my nature and the Kayamita force. They can be very potent and very beautiful. And also the chanting from downstairs, the vibration, everything, is like a symphony and a sauna, all towards wisdom energy and transformation of the heart, the inner nature. That's why the key thing is don't try to know. Just silent. Let it move. Then develop the joy, the compassion, the love, the understanding. So this is how the wisdom energy can be drawn, can be tapped, and it will activate your nature. And without you knowing it, certain part within your heart that needs to be activated, they slowly, slowly get activated. Then when you continue to do your religious routine, cultivate sincerely, diligently, and with faith and persevere, then you will realize the good progress. In no time, a lot of things will happen. Then your nature will come to understand. After that, you become like completely different. Cindy used her own word. It changed her 360 degrees, like completely transformed. Then different people experience different things. Like Alicia, they all say, last time they cannot understand all this. But after that thing happened, now he read the Surangama Sutta, all the Mayara Sutta, the understanding becomes so penetrating, even the Surangama Sutta. It has become so different. Even Engbi and I think Pocheng, Engbi reported, when the two of you discuss in the bus, the new book that they all have to transcribe, Path to Nibbana, via cessation of form and mind. That book, when I go through, he and Pocheng listen, like something new, completely new. Like, how come they go through the transcript, but all those were shared, is like very pristine, very new, and very penetrative, And the faith become very strong, and the joy, it just draw. That's why all this is what the real mind-to-mind seal transmission, cultivation is all about. And this can only happen if your faith is strong, you are sincere, and you have affinity, that you adore. That's why all this sharing are very useful, very beautiful, and it can motivate cultivators of the way, especially Kayamitas. Very good, Pusing. Sadhu. You continue.
Yes, another yes, 6 minutes. That was very interesting to me as well. That's why I shared with Sister Ingbi about that. Totally like, how come like never hear before? So
yeah, although you all did the transcript.
Yes, correct. So it was like very interesting. Like each time we look at the book, it's like new to us,
Yeah.
We are learning all over again, and of course the learning is no longer like cannot understand the
kind. It's no longer that.
Wow, so meaningful and so beautiful, and that teaching is so wonderful and amazing that
it,
we can
it's
understand.
Like so pristine, it's so awakening, it has the power to awaken living being, it's so penetrative,
with
the nature's movement, there is so much joy when you listen,
So it's like the understanding is there, although it's new and pristine. That is the wonderful part of it. But coming back to this vibration, right? So this vibration, now that I can see it with my eyes, right? You see, in the past, I cannot see it with my eyes, So I'm very sure Kayamitas also, especially the new one, you also cannot see with your eyes.
Initially, you cannot see. You can sense and feel it.
Yes, you can feel it, but then the vibration is all over there. So if you silence your mind, you also will receive the vibration. Not able to see or feel it. Some people may not even feel it,
But it will come on as a flash. Then you will see it on. You will understand it on. X-ray.
Yes. So when I mean, for me, at least in the past I can only feel it, but I cannot see it. But this time I can see it as well. So it's like in my other like spiritual trip, right? Like the recent one in 2024. So I can feel the vibration. I can feel it. And I can also see on my, so they come in different forms, right?
I can
see on my palm, you know, the flashing light on my palm, you know, the vibration going to my palm. I can see the flashing light as
well. You can sense them all over your body.
So it comes in many different forms to show you know, the vibration, how it comes and activate you, you know, in that sense. Then at the few years retreat, at Cameron retreat also, I also had that the vibration at the main shrine, chanting, right? That come and comes in is a very, how you call that, incredible inconceivable way. You never imagine, you know, brother. That one is so dramatic. I would say it's so dramatic. So dramatic that, I mean, it's like, how do you say that? It's great. I mean, it's a I mean, although it's very dramatic, but you're able to how you say, let the energy melt into you, you know.
Just let anything come in. That's why the word you use is good, because dramatic in a very different sense. It's not the normal usage of the word. Just now you use a very good word, I forgot already.
Inconceivable, right?
Inconceivable, yes. Yeah. That energy that come is strong, your nature will know. Just like the Buddha in his teaching, he used several type of expression. The first one I remember is inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. Means to comprehend that first thought of ignorance that started the whole process of evolution is really inconceivable. That when you receive this type of energy, really inconceivable, you know, wow, how come got that type of nature's energy coming in on? Even when I travel, spiritual trip or thing, I realize everywhere is different. Like we went to that, I think Zhongtai, I remember, where the monk was also amazed. The sky all blue one. Then he teach Padmasri how to take the photo shot of the what they call the movement of that. It's like what they call a disc up there with all the light moving. And all this is really incredible. But the energy that day was so tranquil and still. That's why he know. That's why he asked, where are you from? He also sent something. Then he decided to take us around. Remember? And show us the relics and all those things. That place was fantastic. And that was the monk I saw about 16 years ago when I was there. That time not so well developed yet. That whole way place. It was the same monk. At that time only one monk. I remember I saw him. So all this, when the causes and conditions are there, meant to be, will be. It will manifest. So the word you use is beautiful. Although dramatic is also a good word, but not in that sense, like so dramatic, but inconceivable is the right word. When it hit and come in, really inconceivable. And all this thing that manifests and transform your nature and your understanding is really inconceivable, impossible for normal living being to develop the understanding. Only cultivator of the way who has gone through can develop the understanding. Okay, you summarize.
It's dramatic because it's for worldly people to understand.
Correct,
it's really
dramatic.
For spiritual, it's inconceivable.
Yeah, inconceivable.
I think Sister Alicia wanted to have 2 minutes to share. Let her do the sharing.
Actually, Brother, 我想分享的是给Sister Nancy Moffitt。其实 天
是
那天我的那个 encounter 就好像是释迦讲，就是那个地藏王菩萨那个一个 energy 要就跑进去我的心那边
啊，对，
哎不对，我就 manifest 那个禅定那个东西 then that actually after 那个禅定哦。我整个头哦，那个好像不要就讲你不懂得 relax 啊，他那个 energy 啊，全部在我的就我 feel 到头痛了，其实。
哦、oh, ，no wonder，
痛，都我又知道，这个是我自己本身的修为很小嘛，所以这个
对 ，initially like you cannot take it， but don't worry，
对，
因为他的 nature 的 energy 来的时候 ，with the collective， Nature's energy of all the cultivator and the great beings are very strong one, very intense one. Yeah. Oh, how? You continue? Mm.
Yeah, but you actually, 我自己又好像知道哦，我去抱 Tammy， 然后我去抱Adeline 跟那个谁那个雷轰啊，然后
啊对，
我去抱他们的时候，其实我是要把我的 energy like
yeah.
分给
你们、
yes, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was the sharing, you know, just to give faith. It's really,
yeah,
but
because that vibration is so strong, you have to hug people. But don't come to me. You're all ladies, cannot. you are among yourself, lady, cannot. Then when Alicia and all those who cultivate want to hug you, good news. Miss...Affinity, yeah. Oh, very good, Sadhu. Now I know, Sadhu.
Okay, that's all for Bratio. 感恩阿弥陀佛。
感恩阿弥陀佛。Let us rejoin. Today sharing very good. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Today sharing is fantastic. Because this topic is very powerful. Go back and listen. Yeah.Condition arising phenomena. You penetrate this, you penetrate the universal characteristic. Then when you have the faith, you do your bodhisattva, your religious routine, you will progress also. And now the Kahimita force, very, very exceptionally strong. Yeah. And the moment you have faith, you rejoice and you sincerely persevere to cultivate, you will progress, you will transform.You look at all the Kahimita now, one by one, they are starting to develop that. Even Nancy, you see her not long. If that nature's energy continues to be with her, and with the question she asked today, she knows what to do, she will progress. Then, if he do the Bodhisattva for the next 3 to 6 months, stabilize it, her future all taken care. Everything can be understood and developed. Then with the sharing by Po Cheng, Alicia, and earlier on Ing Bi, they are very, very beautiful, and incredibly useful for cultivator the way to develop the strong faith and the understanding. And this is not something that normal cultivator of the way can understand. Especially your Theravada tradition, very difficult for you to comprehend.But if you have gone on to this Bodhisattva way, these are common manifestation, common sharing and understanding. Yeah. That's why they talk about mind-to-mind seal, mind-to-mind transmission. It's no longer through words, through first turning, second turning. Well, when you go into the Bodhisattva way cultivation,is mind to mind, nature to nature, and all the nature's pure energy vibration, they come in. They really have the power to transform, and their nature through their vows, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way, and they are very powerful. Not until you are in this field, you encounter yourself and receive the.Transformation, awakening, you can never understand or fathom any of this. That's why for those who have the condition and affinity, they will develop a lot of understanding and joy. And this will continue to evolve as you continue to transform. Okay, let us rejoice for a final time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits, starting with the devas. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana kita wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole sharing.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dharma, shall we put our palms together to express our gratitude and respect to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming all the way to share this beautiful Dharma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Sui for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo, conducting the Zoom session and doing the recordings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Cindy, Brother Wong, Sister Nancy, Sister Alicia, Sister Po Cheng. Who else? For the beautiful sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Also rejoice with Brother Tune and Sister Padmasuri for providing such a conducive environment for Dharma sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.